If all goes well this morning, we'll cover through verse 42. And we're going to start with these two because they're connected. 39:40. Yes, just a little review so that we have context. In short, Prahlad is addressing Lord Nrisimhadeva. He's very clear. He's going to say it yet again today in the concluding prayers. This relationship of non-difference between the creation that Mahavishnu or Mahapurusha is responsible for, and he's facing the Lord of creation. I mean, imagine. He's very clear. And he's appreciating that Brahma was within him and within all the elements of creation, through his potencies, through his personal expansion. He's this little boy. So he has very clear understanding of who it is that he's addressing. And he's already requested, as the demigods wished him to do, to his anger is withdrawn because he's listening very attentively and nicely to Prahlad's prayers, so the roaring anger is withdrawn. And with love, he's reciprocating with the love of his devotee Prahlad. So, we heard this reference to Triyuga, he who appears as the destroyer of Madhu and Kaitaba, and of course this event takes place in Satya Yuga, unless it's the very first Satya Yuga in a day of Brahma. There's the previous Kali Yuga. So anyway, the Lord is Triyuga. He's identified in that language. Now comes the next section. This one. Just as before we begin, just a little repeat of something that we heard before, because Prahlad is going to speak in a very curious way. He's going to speak in a way that seems to contradict what he said before. He's going to speak about his attraction for the temporary, sense gratification, a little boy, money, sex with women. He's a little boy. Like, whoa, where did he go to school? But he's speaking this way out of humility, and also his realization is profound, having heard from Narada. So I'm speaking like this because I'm anticipating questions like saying this. It's his humility, and it's what he's understood from Narada. And although there isn't an MP3 recorder recording everything, for posterity, it's for the benefit of us. His compassion, we're going to hear about this morning, we're going to hear about his compassion. So he's portraying himself as that's torn by a polluted mind and unbridled senses. And because of that, One cannot understand personality of Godhead correctly. Obviously, he's understanding the personality of Godhead correctly. What does, you know, he's before the, we, anyway, repeating. He's infused with Brahma again. He's beyond the spiritual realm in his Swarup. Swarupena Vyavastati. He's there. But he's characterizing himself as if he's not, and counting himself as one of the conditioned souls. So process it like that as you hear this little section. Because otherwise, we'll have a lot of hands going up. Why is he speaking like this? I don't want anything temporary. I don't want power. My father was at the top of the hill, top of the mountain. He was. He took over King Indra's kingdom. He was ruler of the heavenly planets. And in a flash, was all gone. All his power, all his fame, all his wealth, all his Hiranya. So, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm not attracted to these things. Now, in these verses that we're going to hear, he's saying he's attracted to these things. Saying my mind is always contemplating more money. I mean, he's a little boy. Little boy's contemplating more money. He's speaking like one of us. Let's make it easy for our question-answer session ahead of time. It's for our benefit. Something like, Krishna induced Arjuna to be bewildered. Why? So that Krishna could speak to Arjuna for the benefit of us. Or because we just completed visiting Ayodhya in Ramayana, different renderings of how Kaikeyi spoke. One of the renderings is that the Supreme Lord, Lord Ramachandra, induced Lord Brahma to have Saraswati have her speak that way. It's mysterious. Why? So that the Leela could unfold and he could be exiled and mood of separation from his family members and all the residents of Ayodhya. They're undergoing great tribulation, but it's a form of ecstasy. It's a long, long description, but I'll just do it quickly. In Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada cites something that's in detail elaborated upon in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the sorrow, they're Sanskrit terms, the sorrow is Ayi Bhavs. And all of these things are not materially sad, they're ecstatic feelings. It's stimulations of an ecstatic feeling to have the events of sorrow stimulate ecstatic love. So to us it looks horrible. And then we can say, why that? But from a transcendental perspective, it's stimulations of ecstatic ecstasy, sthayi bhav. Steady ecstasy is Prabhupada's translation of the term. It's not identical, but quite similar reference. Prahlad is speaking the way that he's speaking because he's a pure devotee, and pure devotees do whatever the internal potency induces them to do. Like there was this discussion yesterday evening about making choices. Well, Pure devotees make choices, but they're induced by the internal potency. And we're, you know, somewhere in between. Internal potency, we're not acting 100% because we're not surrendered 100% to the internal potency or to Krishna. Anyway, Prahlad is, but he's speaking the way that he's speaking to unfold the pastime, which is Prahlad teaching the way of devotional service. Process it that way. Because otherwise it's, you know, the college brain is going to shut down. No. Yes. Okay. So, we'll cover this morning through verse 42 and the first two, 39, 40. A polluted mind and unbridled senses block our knowing Krishna. So he's, Prahlad is asking Lord Nrisimhadev to take these things away, to purify his mind, to take away his material desire, which he doesn't even have. But he's speaking in that way. Okay. Oops. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets. So, Nrisimhadev has a Vaikuntha planet. That heavenly planet, a Vaikuntha planet. And we read carefully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatan Goswami, or look carefully at the cover of Canto 1, Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of those Vaikuntha planets has Nrisimhadev. It shows Nrisimhadev, the lord of the Vaikuntha planet, as the four-armed Narayana form. And according to the affection of the devotee, they see the Lord the way that they see the Lord. Prahlad is seeing him this way, and he's understanding he's taken this form to uphold the word of Brahma, half man, half lion, instead of the other way. There's more, but he's clear. The person that he's addressing is the Lord of Vaikuntha. In this world, the Lord of Vaikuntha has descended, and he's offering his prayers. He's already explained that in previous verses, he who oversees creation. Now, the overseeing of creation is by Vishnu, and Vishnu is an expansion of the Lord of Vaikuntha, using Prabhupada's language, a portion of a plenary portion. Kala, a portion of a plenary portion, the Purusha avatars. So, he's seeing, Brahma was seeing the Mahapurusha, the Purusha avatar form, and it's a detail, but Prahlad is seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, different than Purusha form. But, in one sense, they're non-different because one is the expansion. Okay, so, my dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, I'm in anxiety. My mind Manas. My mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear. Really? I mean, look what he just went through, and he was totally fearless. And, you know, said words to, if he was feeling fearful, why say the things to his father that he said? If he was feeling fear, he just would conceal it. Anyway, so he's speaking this way. And my mind is always seeking more and more money. 7-year-old boy. Thus it has been most polluted and never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor in such a status of life. How shall I be able to discuss your activities? Because he's understood this discussing of the activities of the Supreme Lord is the means to become free. So how can I do it? I'm disqualified. Again, it's the humility of Prahlad. So, Prabhupada's purport, to understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world. This nirvana, no more material contact. One must come to that position to fully and properly understand. And Prahlad is saying, I'm not there. And one can achieve, this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Again, reference to what we discussed, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, texts 20 through 23, where samadhi is being described. In that purport, Prabhupada speaks of Chetadarpanamarjanam, and then Bhava Mahanta Vagni Nirvapanam, and that second one corresponds with what's being described here. Completely free. There's the cleansing and then completely free from material contamination. So thus the Maha Dhavagni, the blazing fire of material existence, is extinguished. That's this beyond material contamination place, effected by properly chanting of the holy name. Thus, one becomes free from all material bondage. Now, Prahlad received that by the mercy of Narada, then the mercy of Lord Nrisingadeva, and then the hand of Lord Nrisingadeva on his head, and voila. And we have a little bit more work to do. Chanting of the holy name without offense. And when that proper humility, like Prahlad has, and tolerance, like Prahlad has, and ready to offer all respect to others, like Prahlad has, and expecting no respect from anyone, like Prahlad has, this is Shikshastika 3, then one is eligible for having a taste in the chanting of the holy name. And if we don't have a taste in the holy name, then we need to work on Shikshastika 3 and become absorbed in the holy name, because through the chanting of the holy name, one can chant the holy name of the Lord, Kirtaniya Sadahari, when those qualifications are there. Now, text 40. He's describing something that Prabhupada would speak about. Prabhupada spoke, not necessarily making reference to text 40 from chapter 9, of Canto 7, but he would speak the message in his discussions. So there's the illustration where this young fellow is having a hard time because his senses are being pulled, his eyes, his tongue, sense of touch, taste, ear, poor fellow. Here, so he's now in the verse, Prahlad is speaking like a man who has a wife, 7-year-old boy. What does he know about these things? But he's speaking in this way. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, 7-year-old boy, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more. And the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to Satya Yuga cinema songs. Huh? It's Prabhupada's translation. To mundane musical presentation. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another sign. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. Now, he's speaking like a conditioned soul. We've heard this before. We'll say it again. This is the third time. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as a superlative example, he's a perfected being. He's on the topmost level, like Prahlad, of devotion. Yet he's characterizing himself as more sinful than Jaghai and Madhai, and lower than a worm in stool. And it's not just a cute expression. He's feeling those feelings. So, better watch out if you become an advanced devotee. You're going to have those feelings. Or if you don't have those feelings, how are you going to become an advanced devotee? It's just part of the territory. Humility, profound humility is part of the territory of being advanced. That is to say, in that sense of humility, there's a strong eagerness for mercy. Strong eagerness for mercy. Help, Krishna. Calling feelingly. Like a child that's helpless calling her mother. Purport to this verse. The human form of life is meant for God realization. But this process, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, is disturbed as long as our senses are materially attracted. Therefore, devotional service means purifying the senses initially. Therefore, we have our regulations along with chanting. Chanting without regulations doesn't get you to where you want to go. Just a little story. There's a place in Texas where this guru or personality imitating Srila Prabhupada has established a place where they just skip sadhana bhakti and go to raganuga bhakti. And that same fellow has an ashram in Vrindavan. He's very popular. No regulations. And just go to spontaneous devotional service, Kijai. So one of our devotees went there, listened to a lecture by a sannyasini, and which doesn't exist. And at the end, she was doing the Raganuga Bhakti talk, and he just raised his hands and asked this question. So, is it okay? He just, you know, did the ISKCON direct thing. Is it okay if we have illicit sex, take intoxication, meet, eat, and take drugs? And she got all flustered. He didn't say, you know, how she responded other than she got flustered. So, we have these regulations. They're restrictions, like it's being described here, to help regulate the senses, purify the senses, allow the chanting of the holy name to have effect. It may take a while because times, not just this lifetime, strong. But we follow the regulations because our founder Acharya has given us that advice, and he's given us that advice because it's in the Bhagavatam. And the previous Acharyas recommend this, so we follow. And that helps us to chant. Along with chanting the holy name, we follow these regulations. Two more verses. Text 41 is really interesting. If you remember from the first morning class, I gave some qualities of Prahlad, and one of them was para-dukkha-dukkhi. Para-dukkha-dukkhi is a phrase that often referred to Prahlad and other great Vaishnavas, Vasudeva, Datta, and saintly people. They're free from dukkha or distress, except for seeing that others are living their lives in such a way that they're very distressed. So that's a source of distress. Why people have to suffer? A really nice example of this is the beginning of Canto 6 Bhagavatam, where Maharaj Parikshit has just heard from Shukadeva Goswami about the hellish planets. The hellish planets is the destination for people who are overly sinful and have done nothing to atone for those sinful activities. That's their destination, hellish planets. And he describes the hellish planets as part of the universe that Brahma has created. And hearing that description, he who is about to die in now 4 or 5 more days, and he knows it, he's concerned about those who are going to have to suffer. It's compassion, para dukkha dukkhi. And it means your distress is to know that others are going to experience distress, and you feel it. It's a transcendental kind of distress, not the sense gratification gets pinched kind of distress. So, Prahlad has that qualification. It comes here in text 41, and then in the next chapter it comes again. In the next chapter, the way that it comes again, Prahlad says, in very interesting language, I know that you want to take me to your abode. Previously he said, when will that day come, will you take me? In the next chapter he says, I know you want to take me to your abode, but I don't want to go and leave behind these fools and rascals, meaning because of ignorance, they're doing things that are going to not just keep them in planets. So I don't want liberation without they're being liberated. So in this verse, we're hearing a similar expression said differently, but he's going to appeal for all living entities. That's a lot of living entities who are suffering in this material world. Please deliver them. And these distractions of sense gratification in mind is disturbed in so many ways. And he's beyond all that, but he's expressing himself with this profound humility. So the phrase highlighted here is para-chara pipmalar to para-dukkha-dukkhi. Para-dukkha-dukkhi, just a reminder, that's Raghunath Das Goswami's writing, appreciating a quality of Sanatana Goswami, who has a similar quality as Prahlad. He's concerned about the welfare of everyone. This is elevated soul. I'll just share something that I for purposes of speaking the message of compassion to college students, I prepared a presentation on compassion. And in doing the research for compassion, I was really surprised. In one sense, no, but Einstein, of all people, speaks about compassion. And people, worldly people, don't think of him as a spiritual guy. They think of him, not especially, they think of him as, you know, brilliant. But one of Einstein's sayings is, in order to free the mind so that one can understand deeper messages, one needs to expand to all living entities. Whoa! Now, what to speak of the Supreme Lord, just to understand, you know, physics. To understand the workings of the universe, because behind the workings of the universe, we know it's Vishnu. Now, he doesn't say to understand Vishnu. He says, in order for the mind to become free, compassion must expand to all living, and that's a lot of living entities, not just human beings. You know, be kind to your fellow human being. All living entities expand compassion. So, it's important. Now, we're concerned about me, myself, and I. That's narcissism. But then, or mine. I and mine. My family and my circle of friends and or my group. Groupism. Or humanity. You know, the circles start to expand, but who's at the center? I and mine. And to expand compassion or concern, it goes beyond that. It's Prabhupada writes about this in Ishopanishad, this euphemism or statement that sounds nice, you know, compassion for all living beings. There's a phrase, I forget the phrase. It's not possible without a spiritual conception. It's not possible without a conception of God, because who can think like that? One of Prabhupada's disciples, Saradiya Dasi, she once asked Prabhupada a question. She shared this with me. Prabhupada, when we're chanting the holy name, should we be thinking this holy name will bring welfare to all living entities? Prabhupada's reply, how can you think of all living entities? You don't have the capacity. Think of the holy name. Now, that seems contradictory to the message, but you cannot think of all living beings and the welfare of all living beings without Krishna consciousness. That's what he says in Ishopanishad. It sounds nice, but it's not going to happen. Another little Prabhupada story. Because I saw the video of this. What's the contemporary of Srila Prabhupada who was head of the Sikh religion, Yogi Bhajan. Prabhupada was invited to a discussion with Yogi Bhajan. So there's like, it's on video. And Yogi Bhajan was saying to Prabhupada, Swamiji, you're a powerful spiritual leader, and so am I. We're powerful spiritual leaders. And he put his hand in the air and, let's get everyone together and come together. And Prabhupada interrupted him and said, they will never. Now, they will never is, you know, it's God consciousness needs to be at the center. And they will never, because the world is filled with people that, by the very design of material creation, there's dvesha towards the personality of Godhead. They're not going to come together under the banner of the personality of Godhead. So it's not that as a spiritualist, Srila Prabhupada didn't have compassion for all living beings. He sacrificed his life for all living beings, not just humans, and not just in one part of the world, or one culture, one race, one group. It's very, very clear. Not just even humanity, but animals and trees and all living entities. He had that compassion. But how did he accomplish it? Not, let's bring everybody together in a football stadium and, you know, love one another, which is what Yogi Bhajan was saying. Come together and love one another. And that's where Prabhupada cut him off. They will never. So it's not that the vision of universal brotherhood is wrong. You have to start in a different place and just bring people together and love one another. You know, peace and love. It's not that the cleansing of the heart is needed, as we're hearing here. So he's, Prahlada's appealing here. Those of us who are in this category of mudha, please be kind upon us all. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of reactions to our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now, here's the appeal. Kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. This universal brotherhood. Hara chara hiprati. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Remember this reference when Haridas Thakur was speaking in this way. Similarly, please deliver. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's no surprise that you're speaking like this. You're a manifestation of Prahlad Maharaj, our Haridas Thakur. We mentioned this before. Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. At least the bhava or the mood. So we heard this phrase for the 10th time. Prabhupada's writing the introduction to chapter 6 of this canto. Prahlad was sent to this world by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to teach the mode of service to the Lord, service to Him, devotional service. So this is part of the mode. Now, our capacity is tiny. But you can't imitate Prahlad and Haridas Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, but the mood is to extend our concern beyond this body or our family or our community or our race or our group or whatever it is, and expand it to our capacity. And then actions should follow that compassion. Just another little teaching about compassion. There's, analytically, there's three parts. There's a feeling, an affective element of compassion, something that you feel for others. There's an active component, something you're contemplating. There's a mental component, an affective component, and an action component. You have to do something. like this discussion about pacifism, when you see somebody that's being brutalized, you're going to feel something. You got to do something. Practically speaking, if there's compassion, you got to do something. So, another nice example is Vyasadeva. When he looked into the future, because he has the capacity to see past, present, and future perfectly, as if he was there in the future. So he saw Kali Yuga and went, yikes, and so he wanted to do something. He compiled the Vedas for the persons of the age of Kali that would not be able to understand and remember the message of the Vedas that which were passed on through oral tradition. And then he explained them. And he did all this work out of compassion. Anyway. And then Narada came and said, you know, whoops, you haven't sufficiently glorified the personality of Godhead. So do that. So he did it. So, and our acharyas want the world to have it because it's to relieve, it's Vyasa's purpose, to relieve people of this age of Kali from the suffering that comes from the age of Kali. We're part of that compassion mood. And, you know, we're tiny and we don't have the same compassion that Vyasa and the personality of Godhead have. But we're to be instruments and we act in that instrumental way and false ego subsides and there's some empowerment that comes. Little by little. Little by little. Little by little. Don't act in false ego to do these things. I'm going to go save the world. We just are instruments of great devotees and the Lord. And then, in the instrumental way, something beyond our capacity can happen because it's their potency, not ours. Just get out of the way. Get false ego out of the way and be an instrument. That's a nice message. Okay, so, kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. That's everybody. And by your causeless, maintain us. So here it is compassion and humility. Here's Prahlad's humility. Here's the boat, and there's a people jumping off the boat into the ocean of material existence. And they're not having a good time in the ocean of material existence. So, because of the reactions, same the translation of the verse, reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. So, enormous compassion, and even at the risk of his own safety, we're not Prahlad, but right in the classroom of Shanda and Amarka, knowing very well his demoniac father would get a report of this, he did it anyway. And why? For the sake of his friends. This whole chapter of his instructions to his friends ending with, let's chant the name of the Supreme Lord. And they had lively kirtan until Shanda and Amarka came in. What? Fearless. On the strength of compassion. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also all others who are suffering. For this reason, this compassion of Prahlad, Lord Nrisimhadev towards his devotee Prahlad feels great affection, towards his devotee Prahlad came to give him protection. Finish this fellow over here. While the demigods were very much pleased by the removal of Hiranyakashipu. Very powerful. We heard this, just nice sharing. when Ravana, this is from, not from Valmiki Ramayana, but from one of the Ramayanas that's authentic. Ravana, when he was concerned about this horde of monkeys and what one of them alone, Hanuman, had done to devastate. So he's like lots of false ego, but at the same time, he's, you know, calculating person. So he wanted alliances that would help him defeat Ram and the whole army of Ram. So Adhyatma Ramayana says that he was considering, who's a powerful demon that can help me? He considered and considered. He thought, Bali Maharaj. So he went to the abode of Bali Maharaj, which is in the lower planetary region, and he was greeted by gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj, who is Vamana. And some exchange without the detail of the exchange. And Vamana told him, you're a fool. But you can enter. So he came before Bali Maharaj. And Bali said, you know, how'd you get past Vamana? He said, he let me in. He said, yes, obviously, because otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be finished. So what is it that you would like? Oh, this pipsqueak Ram, you know, I want your help. Well, if you're calling him, you know, bad names, why do you need my help? Well, he's got this horde of monkeys, and I want your help. And you're a powerful kshatriya. And he said, well, before I respond to your request, why don't you come with me? And he showed him what looked like a mountain made of gold and studded with precious, huge jewels, and said, Ravana, I hear you're very powerful. You lifted Kailash. See if you can lift this. He couldn't lift it with all of his prowess. And, you know, he was really attracted to gold. So he said, why am I unable to lift this? Bali Maharaj said, this is one of the earrings of Hiranyakashipu that when he was killed by Lord Srinidev, the earring fell to the lower planetary systems. That's the earring of who you were in your previous life. And that same Supreme Lord Vishnu destroyed Hiranyakashipu. What about you? Anyway, Hiranyakashipu was a powerful, huge, demoniac person. But the Supreme Lord, with a flick, finished him. And precisely according to the promise of Narada and the promise of Brahma, because that's what he does. He fulfills the words of his exalted devotees. And the exalted devotees are just concerned with compassion for the welfare of all and fulfilling the desire of the Supreme Lord. So it's a nice arrangement. Then a nice example of compassion is, it's a long narration, but keeping it short, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he came to a place where there was this leper, Brahmana, who had contracted leprosy due to offense, and he was emaciated. But Vasudev was so compassionate that when the worms that had infested his body due to leprosy fell out, he'd pick up the worm and put it back in the hole that it fell out of. Woo-hoo. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the village, he was lamenting, because of my contaminated condition, I couldn't see the Supreme, because he understood he's an exalted devotee who had made a big offense. I couldn't see the Supreme Lord. Because he was desiring like that, Lord Chaitanya returned. He went, he doubled back and went back to the village where Vasudeva was staying. And he embraced him. And when he embraced him, it was a miracle cure. His body became free from leprosy and all the worms were gone. And Vasudeva, like Prahlad, spoke like this. From Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmana? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Full in six opulences. Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. What to speak of cured my leprosy. But he wasn't just like, I want my leprosy to go away. He wanted the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And he was so exalted in his devotion, although he had made some offense, and although because of the offense he was in this abominable suffering condition, he didn't change his devotion to the Supreme Lord. And for this reason, just by his desiring for the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he more than gave him his audience, he embraced him. That's the compassion of a Vaishnava like Vasudeva, and in turn the compassion of the Personality of Godhead, in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's Prabhupada's presentation in this purport, text 41. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of material life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. Indeed, these foolish, materialistic, contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that by, according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals, Prabhupada's tough language, have been described in the Bhagavad Gita as Duskritina, rascals. Kriti and Duskriti, rascals. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are called mudhas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life, although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh, and so on. They do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. It's reference to that statement in the verse that they are engaged in eating abominable things. There's consequences. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such abominable life, and to free himself from these horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them and therefore appears for their benefit. And he appears for their benefit, and how he appears for their benefit starts with appearing in the form of one of his exalted devotees. And that exalted devotee introduces one to Krishna and the mercy of Krishna. Here's Srila Prabhupada's statements from his prayers when he reaches the Boston Harbor There's a painting, or actually it's a photograph of Prabhupada walking along the Boston Pier, looking at the place where the Jaladuta arrived, pier number, whatever it is, 52 or something. Here is his prayers composed upon his arrival. Similar to Prahlad. Most of the population here is covered by nature's modes of ignorance and passion, and I do not know how they will be able to understand the transcendental message of Vasudeva. You are the Lord of the whole creation. So, if you are liable so that they can understand, because otherwise, modes of ignorance and passion, how are they going to understand Vasudeva's message, pure goodness? By your causeless mercy only, my words may become transcendentally pure, and I am sure that when such a transcendental message penetrates their hearts, certainly they will feel in all unhappy conditions of life. Compassion. Another little note. The reference is these prayers upon arrival at the Boston Harbor. One time in Chennai, Prabhupada was visiting, and to see him, an appointment was made. They were together with devotees in the room. And the sannyasi came to complain about Prabhupada's Sanskrit in his Bhagavad Gita translation. And the man spoke and said, you know, Swamiji, you have written in your Bhagavad Gita translation things that are not... And then he gave an example in chapter 3, text number such and such. There's no mention of chanting, and your purport says chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's no mention of that in the verse. Oh. And are there other examples? Yes, in chapter 6, there speaks of meditation, and you speak of meditation upon Krishna. There's no mention of Krishna in the verse, but you're speaking meditation upon Krishna. Oh. Are there other examples? And I didn't hear the translation or the transcription or the recording, rather, of the interview. But from someone who did, it went on for an hour. And Prabhupada just said, oh, is there something else? Is there something else? Is there something else? And how did he wrap it up? An hour later, he said, Sir Prasadam. And they brought some Prasadam to the sannyasi and he left. And the devotees were astonished because they said, Prabhupada, you're like fire when it comes to Mayavadis. And you let this man speak like this again and again and again. Why? And Prabhupada said for 1 hour he was calling Krishna's name again and again and again and again. And I was considering maybe next time when he comes to see me, he'll accept what I have to say. Because he's been purified by saying Krishna's name again and again and again. Then on the other hand, maybe he'll be like Shishupal and need Sudarshan Chakra to help him out. But that was Prabhupada's compassion when at times when he would speak in a fiery manner, it was also compassion. It wasn't like combat. It was compassion. And how does someone who's a pure devotee know whether it's appropriate to speak strongly or to let the person go on saying Krishna's name in derision? It wasn't his name was called in derision, although that's what Shishupal did. But Prabhupada had such faith in the holy name, just see, and compassion, that he wasn't feeling insulted, he was feeling compassion. And when one is feeling compassion, your concern for other living beings doors open that otherwise we're in this reactive space rather than the what's Krishna's interest space. Just like this question yesterday about how do we make decisions. Well, what's in Krishna's interest? And how can I be an instrument for Krishna's interest? You know, there's layers and layers and layers of contemplation on that question, but Srila Prabhupada is praying to Krishna, and we don't have the capacity of Prabhupada, but we can understand the mood, just as understand the mood of Prahlad, and according to our capacity, adopt that mood. Here's a nice photograph of Prabhupada's compassion in Golden Gate Park, where sitting in the midst of whatever you want to call them. So one time somebody said, Prabhupada, what's a hippie? And he said, you know better than I do. He said, something wonderful. One of our devotees was visiting in Udupi, and they had developed over a period of time a relationship with some of the sannyasis. So upon invitation, they wanted to, could you describe what has inspired you so much to take up Krishna consciousness this way? So they had this inspiration. They showed a video, the documentary, Your Ever Well Wisher. And there was one scene, this one, of Prabhupada in Golden Gate Park. And at the end, the sannyasi that was watching said, your Swamiji is very powerful. We could never do this. Because there's concern about being protected from contaminating association. And my goodness, contaminating association plus. By the way, that's Mukunda Maharaj. Because before he became a devotee, he was a professional musician. Percussion was one of his instruments, another instrument. So he was part of what Prabhupada engaged in spreading the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because he was a musician. And he was one of the three, and his wife, to go to London and spread Krishna consciousness. And it wasn't he specifically, but he had developed a very, very deep relationship with George Harrison. There were others that befriended him also, and kind of the most adventuresome one amongst them was Chamsundar, and you can read about that in his book, the Rhino's book. The description is there. Anyway, the description is there. Prabhupada was filled with compassion. Just one of the episodes that Chamsundar narrates. Just Prabhupada's compassion is the message this morning. The three couples were really, really, really careful about not asking for anything from the Beatles, because they were used to people asking them for stuff, especially money. So they just didn't ask. They just, chant and be happy together. So one day, Prabhupada called Chamsundar to his room and said, I need to print Krishna book. Could you ask George for $50,000? And that time, that was, in the Hare Krishna movement, that was a lot of money. And for nothing for those fellows, but it just, it violated a principle. And Chamsundar didn't say no. He just said, we've never asked. And Prabhupada said, you trust in Krishna. Mark my words. You trust in Krishna, it would all work out. So it was going against something that they as a group had established as a fundamental principle of how they were going to engage in this cultivation, but Prabhupada's instruction superseded that. And so, off he went to an event where they were going to be singing, and Chamsundar had privileges, so he got right to where their dressing room was, the backstage scene, brought prasadam, and you know, his words are worth reading, what Shyamasundara was feeling, but he felt confident. He was reluctant, but he felt confidence in Prabhupada's words. So he brought the topic up to George. And he said, these aren't his words, but his face became very serious. Like, why are you doing this? The unspoken, we're not going to ask. He was asking. And then, all of a sudden, electricity blew, and all the lights went out. Right at that moment, George looking angry or whatever it was. And then some moments passed. You know, this is London. And then the lights went on. And some kind of comment, that was prophetic. So how much? And the number was given, and he said, I'll arrange. I mean, that's not exactly the verbal exchange, but having faith in the instruction of the spiritual master, and in this case, it was not just a suggestion, it was an instruction. And Prabhupada was told that we'd be violating our principle that we observe. Do it anyway, and Krishna will help you. So, afterwards, after the concert, etc., etc., Shyamasundara came back and reported to Prabhupada what happened. And Prabhupada was smiling and said, I told you, Krishna will help you. Not that Prabhupada knew how it would play out. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he knew that Krishna would help because it was for Krishna's service. Anyway, the compassion of a great personality. And our last verse for this morning, text 42, the message here is Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is especially kind upon the devotee. Now we heard about the neutrality, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, and how that special kindness is not a contradiction to his neutrality. But here's Prahlad's statement, highlighted here are this Priya Janan. He holds his devotee especially dear, those who are engaged in his service. Anu Sevatam Naha. He holds special affection because, and the reason is, they hold special affection for him. He's reciprocating with their special affection for him. He shows special affection to them. It's completely natural. I like Prabhupada's explanation of this. He says, supposing we have a family. And in the family, there's many children. And the parents have natural affection for all children in the family. But if one of the children, amongst the many children, is especially gentle and affectionate and has that kind of special feeling towards the parents, they love all their children, but they'll feel and demonstrate special affection for that child. It's just natural. Similarly, Krishna has affection for all living entities, and amongst all living entities who are his part and parcel living entities, those that have special affection for him, he has special affection for them. Not partiality, it's natural. The way of love. Translation, text 42. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls? Engaged in your devotional service. You are the friend of all suffering humanity. And for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us. Now again, it's those who engage in your service. The previous verse is appealing for everyone, but you know, not just me, everyone. I know you'll show mercy to me. I'm appealing that you show your mercy to everyone. So the terminology in the verse, this Akhila Guru, he's the master of the entire creation. Of course, he's the master Brahma, who's the creator of the creation. But he's then, and then all offspring, all living entities come from Brahma, or the lineage comes from, originally from Brahma. So he's the master of the entire creation, all living entities. Then, Bhava, Sambhava, Lopa, Hetoho. There's Lord Vishnu, the Mahapurusha that he says, Prahlad says that Brahma saw. He's the manager of the whole affairs of the universe. Bhava is the place of suffering. Sambhava, Lopa, Hetoho. And another term, Artha, Bandho. So there's different, according to context, different meanings of Artha. It's A-R-T-H-A, and then there's A-R-T-A. So Bandho, that's the suffering living beings. He's the friend of all living beings. So he's a friend to all living beings. He's in the heart of all living beings, regardless of the form of life. And he holds himself as their friend. He's the well-wisher of all living entities. And Krishna, Prabhupada explains this in the purport, he is capable of giving shelter to everyone. Here is the Govardhan Lila, where he's giving shelter to all the residents of Vrindavan, not only the people, but all the living entities who are residents of Vrindavan. That's a lot of living entities, but Govardhan Hill expanded by the touch of... Govardhan Hill was feeling ecstasy. And so Govardhan Hill expanded. And as the lightning was crashing on Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Hill wasn't feeling anything. He was feeling ecstasy just by the touch of Krishna's hand. He is the shelter giver to everyone. And Krishna extends his shelter through his devotees. Now, shelter through his devotees doesn't mean his devotees lift Govardhan Hill. Or when there's a hurricane, you know, the hurricane bypasses their home or the Puerto Rico temple. It may be the Puerto Rico temple gets wiped out. But the devotees will come and help the Puerto Rico devotees rebuild and have new construction because devotees are part of that entourage of Krishna's protection. And conclusion, Priya Janan Anusevatam Naha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. There was a question the other day, how do we know what will be pleasing to the spiritual master so that we can get to the spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna? Remember that question? She's not here. But here's the answer that I gave, and it's right in the purport. Srila Prabhupada journeyed for the purpose of giving compassion, following the instructions of his spiritual master, and compassionately giving relief to suffering living entities of this world, and following the instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta, the mercy of Krishna flowed through the instrument of that instruction. And finally, the way of Prahlad. We heard the first morning these different qualifications of Prahlad. He is the epitome of this scriptural teaching that one should be the servant of the servants. He sees himself as the servant of Narada Muni, who is the servant of Lord Brahma, who is the servant of the personality of Godhead. That's his mood. So that's his qualification. Here are some scriptural references that teach the same. Lord Chaitanya's teaching, we've heard this again and again, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamala Yor Das Das Anudas. And from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks also of the disciplic succession, Parampara Pratam Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. One can receive transcendental knowledge in that way of disciplic succession. Or Narottam Das Thakur, in his one of his songs, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas, let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with the devotees of the Lord. Again, Narottam Das Thakur echoing the same. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog. Tumi ta Thakur Tomara Kukura. Woof woof. Just faithful. So like one of the characteristics of a dog is very faithful to the master. One of the reasons people like dogs is these many dogs, they're faithful to their master. They like someone that's faithful to them. They keep a dog. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite par. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee, and if we take shelter of the pure devotee, then he can deliver Krishna very easily. So that concludes our verses for this morning. So do we have the portable microphone ready? Who has it? You have it. Okay. Over here.
How to understand the difference between instruction and suggestion?
When just taking this example of Shamsundar being instructed, it was an instruction. It wasn't like, what do you think? You might want to consider. It was explicit. No. Prabhupada gave an instruction to Shamsundar because he knew he was surrendered. It wasn't like, oh, let me think about it, or well, what about this one? So he was very decisive and directive. So language tells you whether it's a suggestion. And relationship also, direction and instruction or suggestion. You know, suggestions may come because, for example, there may be many variables that the person who has the position to give an instruction may not be aware of the variables, and so rather than give instruction, it's a suggestion. No language and circumstance. Even when there is an instruction, it's not inappropriate to seek clarification, or like Arjuna did, Krishna, how is it possible to control the mind? No one can say in dialogue with the person giving instruction. I don't know if it's possible within my capacity to do this instruction. Not saying no. Like Dasarath did with Vishwamitra. That was an instruction, wasn't a suggestion. And he, I don't know. Dialogue is, if you're unclear, you can ask, is this an instruction or a suggestion? But language will tell you.
I have another question.
Yeah.
I was a little confused when I was hearing the Ayodhya lectures and then the same topic.
Which one?
Ayodhya lectures. Where you were saying the mood of Lakshmana was like, he made choices. He said, Lord...
I was only repeating what the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas say, comparing the two. But yes, that's what I said.
So the mood of Lakshmana is he makes choices and he says, I want to come with you. And then the mood of Bharata is a little different.
Oh, I want to come with, come back or I'll stay with you. But, bottom line is, in both cases, service. You never depart from service. Hmm. There's a difference of mood in service.
So my question is, I heard two different terms, being a servant makes choices, but then you have somebody who's acting like an instrument.
So, that's Bharata.
Yeah.
Second one.
So hearing from Prahlad Maharaj, the spiritual mood to cultivate. So what's like a spiritual mood to cultivate in the sense of keeping in view our own nature?
Well, keep in view your own nature when making choices. It comes back to the how do we know is something a suggestion or something an instruction? If it's something that's an instruction, you can ask, you can say, how is it possible? But it's an instruction is different than a suggestion. It's not exactly a choice. It's an instruction is an instruction. And then a lot of this depends on, in response to your question, it's the relationship. And it's also the circumstance. Srila Prabhupada didn't instruct some people because he knew they couldn't take it. But some people he would instruct because he knew they could take it. And he knew that they needed it, whether they could take it or not. But he was... He was cautious. There's two stories. It's the answer to your question is has a lot to do with relationship. And if you're not clear, then you ask. Is this a choice? Is this an instruction? Ask. And based upon the relationship. If there's uncertainty, generally based upon the relationship, you'll know. But if you're not clear, then you ask. So two little. Prabhupada stories. You've heard them before. Well, one of them you maybe haven't heard. I heard this from Hari Story. Prabhupada very rarely showed strong kind of speech to his female disciples. But in one person's case, he did. And because his explanation was she can take it. And it was, the detail was, Prabhupada had a practice in a very regulated way that at a certain time he would take his midday bath, he'd put on fresh cloth, he'd sit down and chant Gayatri, and he expected as soon as he's finished with Gayatri, prasadam is there, and there's chapatis that are puffed up like a balloon, and he would poke his finger in the top of the chapati, and it would let the hot air out, and then within a certain interval of time, the next chapati would arrive, and he could decide whether he would take it or not, but it was like, that was just standard. So one time, Palika was cooking, and the chapati didn't come on time. And he called Palika from the kitchen, and he raised his voice and, you know, spoke something that was really strong. And she left the room. And Prabhupada commented, normally I don't do that with ladies because they can't take it, but Palika can take it. It was like, it was purposeful. It wasn't, you know, my senses are inconvenienced. What's wrong? What kind of servant are you? It was purposeful in a different way. The purposefulness was so the disciple would understand, you know, be attentive when you're doing service. Because if you're not attentive in doing service to the spiritual master, are you going to be attentive otherwise? You'll be attentive to sense gratification, not to the mood of service. So he was training when he would speak to be attentive in your service. Pleasure of Guru and Krishna. Attentiveness. But he wouldn't do it with certain devotees because they couldn't take it. And it was his comment, Hari Sori shared this, I don't speak like this with women. Except with Palika I can speak like this. It was like, you know, casual. It wasn't any anger at all in his, it was purposeful. Then another, keeping it a shorter version than the longer version, Prabhupada was spending one afternoon with the devotees speaking about how his Western disciples would become spoiled by returning to their previous ways of indulgence in drugs and things. So he was like, you know, he didn't like it when they grew their hair and became interested in Western music, rock and roll music. He was, you know, strong about it. It would just pollute their consciousness, you know, and on and on. Then somebody who had been married the previous day came to see Prabhupada. I'm about to leave. And Prabhupada, now that I'm married, I have this desire to make this music band, like a rock band, and sing songs and glorify Krishna. Prabhupada agreed. And when he left, the devotees said, I think it was again Hari Sori told me, Prabhupada, you were just so strong about this is Maya and it corrupts my disciples, I don't like it. And on, and here comes this fellow and you said, go ahead. And Prabhupada said, I said go ahead because he would do it anyway. So he didn't give the instruction because it would compound the problem of violating the instruction of the spiritual master. So there's some caution in various ways about, those aren't the only two, of various ways of giving instruction. Some people can't take it. Some people won't follow. So giving it, having the position of giving instruction is a responsibility that has to be very carefully exercised. And that's on the giving side, and then on the receiving side. One can go back and ask, is there option? Is this an instruction? You know, what about? And then in the case of, both said similar things, but in the case of Lakshmana, there was yielding because he understood, Ram understood, he can't live without me. And Bharata can. And I want Bharata to rule. That's what the benediction was, that the word that I am to uphold as Bharata shall be installed. He didn't waver. And Bharata could take it, you know, with some condition. He'd serve on behalf. So, Ram knew the mood of both, and Ram was yielding with Lakshmana and not yielding with Bharata. But that's the role of the instructor. And then the role of the instructed is to understand what the relationship is. Not like, how much negotiating room do I have, but, you know, what's the relationship? Who am I? And what's the relationship? You know, bottom line for both, they would serve. Just the mood of service. By transcendental arrangements for our edification, for that matter, is different mood of service. Because they're persons, there's different mood, but also for our edification. And Shatrughna, yet another mood of service. So. Something else? Over here? There's three hands up.
Guru Maharaj, my question is, you mentioned that Supreme Personality of Godhead sent Prahlad Maharaj to teach a certain mode. So what is the mode that Prahlad Maharaj is teaching to
us? Oh, I've been speaking about it all along. Just go back and listen to the recordings. Right behind you.
Guru Maharaj, in this section I was feeling compelled to compare the compassion of the Lord and the compassion of His devotees, which is reflecting the mood of the Lord.
Yes.
But then I still see some difference. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
That's allowed. Differences are allowed because we're persons.
In that verse, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nrsinga, it ends with the word Tat Upekshitanam, which has the sense of that Lord is taking the position of neglecting. And that is also in the mood of Yethamam Prapadyante, that however way one approaches, the Lord is simply reciprocating. So in other words, the sense of neglect naturally comes for those who are not ready to surrender. Mm-hmm. But in the case of His devotees, like in the Madhyamadhikari, we use the same word, upeksha, Prema Maitri Kripa, Upeksha. The same word is used, but that is applied particularly towards envious, or those who are really inimical towards the Lord. So I'm thinking that in the case of Krishna, the sense of neglect seems to come early because of His just reciprocating in the mood of the person. Mm-hmm. But in the case of His devotees, they would like to intervene into the life of devotees, into the life of people, and try to see how to inject the mercy of the Lord. I don't know whether my understanding is...
I think I follow your question. It's similar to, not the same, but similar to Krishna's saying, don't disturb the minds of the faithless. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord are more compassionate than the Lord. And they go and disturb the minds of the faithless. for the understanding, the higher purpose of the Lord is He wants them to be relieved of their suffering. So, the devotee is acting as the instrument of the Lord, although the Lord is saying, don't disturb them. And there's all variations of, you know, individual relationships that one has. There's broad direction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go here and there and chant the holy name. And that's going to disturb some people. We chant the holy name. Because that's higher instruction, and et cetera. Then there's individual ways of how do we reach others with the holy name. You know, there may be different ways of doing that. Packaging it. And way in back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, without Krishna consciousness, one cannot have true compassion. Can you give some tips on how to show or explain that phenomena to others?
The phenomena of having compassion? No. How to explain the phenomena of having compassion?
No, the fact that one cannot have true compassion without Krishna consciousness.
Oh. Well, principle-wise, absent Krishna consciousness, what do you have? You have another conception, which is a material conception of self. And so compassion will take on an illusory form. There will be compassion on the platform of the temporary. That which somebody isn't. The illusory sense of self. And very actively one can be promoting compassionate activities that doesn't touch on the self. That's not compassion. It's an illusory representation of compassion, but it's not compassion. I mean, should I elaborate or you follow?
So I specifically have one of my close friends in mind, and she is really into the compassion thing, but without the Krishna consciousness part. I have tried to explain to her how we are not the body and how we are not temporary, and we are the spirit soul and we are eternal.
Yeah.
And hence, any compassion which is on the bodily level is not true compassion.
It's limited. In the language of Prahlad, one of the verses, it's limited and temporary and imperfect. It's aside from, you know, sat and asat, it's not who we really are. So it's, therefore, it's not real compassion. But it's compassion in a limited and temporary sense. So now, how to take that limited and temporary, maybe just like add Krishna to the picture. That limited, and is the body permanent or impermanent? Is the benefit that goes to the body or the mind permanent or impermanent? Which is better, permanent or impermanent benefit? So what's that permanent? Is there such a thing? You know, in your dialogue with your friend, is there such a thing? And if you can give permanent as well as impermanent, which is better? Now, it's another discussion to say, is there real compassion? But to say, which is better? Permanent as well as impermanent. Does that help? It's a step rather than, you know, home run. Which is better?
Can this also be shown by actions instead
of... Sure. But let's take another example. Vegetarian and prasadam. Which is better? This is, perhaps an approach to help your friend understand compassion in the higher sense. Do I need to, it's mode of goodness. But the living entities are also affected. Even your vegetarian. What are you going to do? Stop eating. Or drink water. Well, there's living entities in the water. Well, boil it first. Well, then you're killing the living entities in the water. So what are you going to do? You offer it to Krishna. You take the apple from the tree and offer the apple to Krishna. The tree is getting spiritual benefit and you're getting spiritual benefit. Which is better? Eat apples or take prasadam? The compassion to the animals is exhibited in both. Which is better? So we don't incur sin and so that the tree gets spiritual benefit. Which is better? The compassion to the animals or the giving compassion to the living entity that bears the apple tree, living entity. And no, if this person doesn't accept that there's a soul, that's another thing. Then you need to address that. But just comparative rather than, that's not compassion. Yes, two, and then we're going to finish because of the time. Dvaita Chandra.
Guru Maharaj, I've been trying to meditate on Prahlad Maharaj's quality of fearlessness.
Yeah, me too.
Especially as we live in a world where man-made causes of fear are increasing. You made a statement today about fearlessness on the strength of compassion. And we've also heard that fearlessness arises when one goes beyond the bodily conception of love.
Yeah.
Is it recommended that we focus on the former, like fearlessness arising out of compassion, developing that quality based on compassion versus focusing on being freed from bodily conception?
Well, meaning, there's qualities, and it's good to know, like this prior discussion, what is compassion, and what is fearlessness, and how are they, qualities. But it's not going to develop without going beyond the bodily conception. Even you may have the notional idea of what this one is and that one is, and you try to cultivate it, it's not going to happen. 2.41 purport. Advancement in spiritual life is fully dependent upon having a spiritual conception of life. Notional spiritual life is quite incomplete and not very satisfying. Those qualities will not manifest, even when it tries to. So, both are important. When you get in your car and you put the you want your GPS to get you to the destination. You have to know the destination. But you also need, know how to get there to the destination. Like that. Over here, last question because of time.
Marge, this question is about yesterday evening, about the Lord being called Tri Yuga.
Okay.
I was wondering, is Kalki not counted as an avatar?
And Buddha. We had this discussion with somebody afterwards. I only repeated what Gopinathacharya said. But my understanding is, yes, there are yuga avatars in Kali Yuga, Kalki being one, Buddha being another. We'll come back at, I guess, 20 after. We give you 1 hour for breakfast. And I'll remind you, the midday, the second class is going to be a long one. So don't eat a big, heavy breakfast. We'll see you back at 20 after 10. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.